The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds!
Woo-hoo.
Good morning. I thought I'd change it up a little bit. Today is Sunday. She always got the snicker thing going on there, this snicker. I should have called her the snicker sis. Anyway, today is Sunday, February 19th, 2023. I'm here in the studio, tongue-tied and everything, with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And we also have the kid that rocks around the clock, you know, Dave Johnson. Cyber Dave!
Good morning.
I always think of you remember Super Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah. You don't remember? Missed that one.
That's dating back a little bit.
Yeah, Super Dave was like the guy who was sort of like Evel Knievel, but he failed at every attempt.
Nice.
Just when you said that, it first popped in my head. Super Chicken, remember
The amount of super they slapped on Boomer shows is amazing.
Oh.
Well, you should go back and watch that just for fun. It's actually pretty funny. I can't remember what show that was on. I can't remember either.
I have to really think about that.
Anyway,
Superman, Superwoman, they had Super Dog, Super Dave, Super Chicken, Super.
But at least, I have to say, at least they were what they said they were. They weren't everything else. I mean, you know.
That kind of takes me. There's going to be.
You know what I mean? It's like they really were a chicken. They really were, you know. Superman.
I see where I'm going with this.
No, it
was like on Congress when they were going through and asking the questions and, do you have a penis?
Now we've got super gender.
Super gender.
Changes. All he's got to do is go to the phone booth.
And you never know what's going to come out.
He can be anything you want him to be.
Exactly.
Super gender. Wow.
Boy, LQWXYZ.
How far
coming
have
to schools
fallen?
And playgrounds near you.
How far
now,
have
we
fallen? Help,
man. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That just tells you how bad it really is.
I guess I'll go to the chat room and open it up, but we do have a guest today, and I got some topics that I want to talk about. Our music, I kind of lined up, there's a theme there, and I think it, I probably want to tell you what the theme is. It's a tribute to our El Presidente. It's a tribute to our current sitting president. Okay? Just in case when you get there, somebody put Super
Dave. I know, I was just
Super
laughing
Dave
about
did,
it.
Who was that?
He no, did mess up a lot. Ouch. Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, it wasn't like a lot. It was like
every
time.
Yeah.
He was like the stunt man that never performed a stunt that worked.
That never was.
The stunt man who never was, exactly, yeah. He'd always get killed. He's like, you know, the thing is that he'd say, "Here's Super Dave, and he's going to have you know, this building, or you know, a crushed car, you know, set up in a magnetic crane above inside a junkyard. He's going to have the car fall on him, and of course they'd always replace him with a dummy, and it'd just squash him flat, you know, and then you know." So
what was the modern day program where they would do all the different stunts and they always messed up?
There was a bunch of them.
Yeah, they were always like jumping off houses and breaking their legs. Don't try this at home, kids.
You're talking about, there was Jackass was one
of
them.
Yeah, thank you.
Jackass. Yeah, that was appropriately named.
That was the modern day adaption, and then there was multiple others of people that did that. I mean, all you got to do is look on TikTok now.
I don't do TikTok.
Hey, let's go ahead and boost this up.
Well, TikTok is YouTube now.
I don't do it.
No, actually, so YouTube, it's very interesting the way that things have actually gone through. So now it seems like more like ScrewTube for YouTube, because, I mean, basically, it's just constantly videos of scantily clad women
Well,
everywhere.
You know, it's interesting. Now we've got ScrewTube, and we've got Scroogle.
And Twitch is just as bad. It's like the gateway drugs to OnlyFans over there on Twitch now. It's everything across the board. It's like ASM and girls that are almost topless for kids to watch for your pleasurable enjoyment.
What? Where's that at?
You're asking for a friend.
Sick little monkey.
All right.
Before we get to our guests, I do want to say we hope you're feeling better. Frankie, we do miss you. All right. And I hope everything is going well with you.
Any other announcements we want to do?
We're going to be talking with the guy
who is the Second Amendment. He's not like Fauci's science, but you know, Mark Baird knows more about the Second Amendment than anybody I've ever met. I've met a few people in my time, and you know, it goes without saying. I mean, he's just a dictionary, an encyclopedia of information on Second Amendment,
yes,
court cases, everything. And, you know, I really have a lot of respect for Mark because, you know, not just the life he's lived, but, you know, how he's stepping up to the plate and has been stepping up to the plate for a long time to try to fix what's going on.
Right. I was going to say he doesn't just do the talk. He does the talking and the walk. You know what I mean?
There's the talk and then there's the walk.
Yeah, and he does them both.
I talk while I walk.
I don't know, maybe. I can only
Never mind.
But he's been plugged in for a lot of years, and he's brought a lot of people together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So with that, are you on the line with us, Mark?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on and sharing
your information with us.
So where should we get started here? Should we get started with the court case and where we're at? What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I just like to mention a couple of the circumstances and the reasons why we even need the court case, and not the least of which is that petulant buffoon in the governor's office, Gavin Newsom, who stands in a press conference surrounded by armed guards and he calls the Second Amendment a suicide pact.
Gruesome nuisance.
Yeah. He actually called the Second Amendment a suicide pact.
What is this? This guy, there's something wrong with this guy. There really is. I'm not sure whether it's a psychological evaluation, it's whatever it is, but, you know, Despicable Me comes to mind every time I think about him. And it's like, are you that stupid, or is this just all about evil power grab?
No, it's an evil power grab. I can't imagine that anybody, maybe besides Kamala Harris, is that stupid, but it's a power grab, and it's an attempt at control, and they have it. They have a supermajority in a legislature absolutely filled with idiots. I mean, none of these people have ever had a job. They're all political activists or union organizers. They've been on some kind of government check or some kind of dole all their lives, and the way they further that is with more and more control and more and more control. And I'm just kind of curious as to what people think. How many things do you do every day that don't require, in California anyway, that don't require some form of government permission? And the Second Amendment was one of the things that didn't require government permission until 1968, when some black people made the legislature mad. In order to disarm urban black people, they stripped everyone of their constitutional guarantee to keep and bear arms. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2012, some little idiot in the California Assembly or Senate. I forget whether little Anthony was in the Senate or the Assembly then, but, you know, the little guy who was the art director on the Grizzly Adams TV show and catapulted himself to state political office based on that fame. And he made the statement in the legislature, well, you don't need a gun to go buy a cheeseburger. And then at that point, they stripped everyone of their right to openly carry an unloaded weapon. And then a year later, you lost your right to carry an unloaded rifle, even in your car. I mean, this is the most ridiculous form of socialist control I've ever seen in my life. And people didn't seem to care too much about it until recently. And so we're going to do something about this.
Do you know, I've been listening, I listen to Dan Bongino a lot. Have you been listening to him at all? And he's talking about the long march through the institutions this last week. Anybody who hasn't heard this should go listen to it. I think he puts forward a great case and with a lot of evidence and a lot of the receipts to show that, you know, this has not been an accident across the board, you know, whether it's in conjunction with the World Economic Forum or whatever. But it seems like the Chinese have infiltrated our government. And I think this is part of the what they're doing.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, this is the long march, and they don't care how long it takes. I mean, they have state employees that spend 20 years in their desk, and their goal is to take your water rights away. And if that guy retires before he finishes, they put another guy in his chair and say, okay, you finish the job. And if it takes 100 years, it takes 100 years. But in the end, they have all the control. They have all the power. They own all the wealth, and you're allowed to keep what they allow you to keep. And in California, that's becoming less and less every single day.
Well, you
but
know,
I think
I was going to say that, you know,
the fight back. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the term, I used to be kind of amazed at the term useful idiot. Because you would think, yeah, they'd probably have to search around in America to find enough useful idiots to help them. But,
no.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I was pretty much wrong on that one.
No, I have to say that people that value liberty and value the Bill of Rights and value the constitutional guarantees enshrined in that document are in the minority. In California, we're in the distinct minority. And that's a pretty scary statement, but it's absolutely the truth.
Well, I think Jefferson said if you thought you could be ignorant and free, those two don't coexist. And I think that's what he was talking about with this long march as far as getting into the school system, you know, funding the school system, funding the programs, and shifting everybody's attention away from their rights, their responsibilities, their freedom, their self-reliance into a government, a society where government, you know, is the author and finisher of your life, womb to tomb, so to speak. So that you're dependent on them for your livelihood, you're dependent on them for information, you're dependent on them for everything, and you don't look to freedom as an answer to your problems.
No, you're absolutely correct in that. And again, I think it was Franklin that said that the Constitution was meant for immoral people and it's only unsuited for any other. And that's also the truth. So at first, you know, strip people of their morality, strip them of the nuclear family, strip them of property rights. All these things are in the Communist Manifesto. Just look it up and read it. And don't take my word for any of this, by the way. You can look it all up. It's readily available.
Hey, yeah. Mark, do you think that there's other states that are starting to get on board, though, with our liberties and our Second Amendment? You're starting to see where certain states aren't allowing the Chinese to come in and purchase property or telling them to get out of their state. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I agree that there is a revival somewhat, and that is evidenced by the fact that this year half the states in the United States have constitutional carry, and we could go as high as 29 states this year. 45 states have some form of open carry, whether with a permit or without. Mm-hmm. But there are only 5 states that ban open carry of weapons, California among them. In defiance of the Supreme Court, in defiance of the Constitution, in defiance of the Bill of Rights, I think a lot of states are starting to wake up to the Confucius Institutes, which are funding a lot of the universities in the United States and spreading mm-hmm. their propaganda. I think it's, what is it, Kristi Noem State, North Dakota, that's denying Chinese the ability to purchase property, particularly right. within range of secret U.S. Air Force bases. we need to all wake up to that, because the Chinese have the stated aim of taking over the world. And I've been to China hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. This is no secret. If you ask them, they'll tell you. I mean, they're not.
Yeah, they're hiding in plain sight. They're not even hiding it anymore. And they even have, you can read the long road through or whatever, you know.
Belt and Road.
Yeah, thank you. And, so it's, they're not even hiding it, but I wanted to ask you a question. Then let's get back to the court case a little bit. You know, I'm guessing at the five states. I'm guessing California. I'm guessing, Illinois. I'm guessing New York, probably New Jersey. And
maybe
then,
Rhode Island?
No, I would go with Oregon or Washington.
Well,
how close am I?
Massachusetts.
Oh, thank you. Massachusetts, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they're all...
Interesting.
Go ahead.
Interestingly enough, most of the states that don't allow it, besides California, are part of the original 13 colonies who, through fire and blood, came up with the Bill of Rights.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they say history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, and I think we're starting to see a little bit of rhyming going on. With history, as far as, you know, people get, complacent about their rights and their responsibilities, and the nature of government is to take them away and get you dependent on them.
Absolutely, absolutely true. And if you doubt that, look at California. I mean, they're about to ban gasoline lawnmowers. They want to ban gasoline cars. They want to tell you what you can eat. They want, they'd rather you eat bugs instead of beef. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're regulating cow farts. They are taking people's water rights away that have been enshrined for hundreds of years, literally.
They've
taken away our right to defend ourselves. That has been largely unremarkable and largely unregulated for over 150 years, and all of a sudden this government is smarter than any other government, and they're going to take away those rights. And you know, they use these spurious, nebulous facts like, oh, mass shootings in California. Well, I got some bad news. California is one of the most highly regulated gun states we have more infringements on the Second Amendment than pretty much any state in the Union. We have about 11% of the population, yet we have about 20% of the mass shootings. Well, if gun control works, why is that so? I mean, why is it that California has more of the behavior they're trying to regulate out of existence than any other state, and we only have, half the population represented of those incidents, and in face of gun control, would you say to yourself, "Well, it must not work"?
Well, here's
what California says: no, we haven't gone far enough yet.
Here's what gun control is. It's the theory that being a victim is somehow morally superior to defending yourself and your family.
Yeah, and Thomas Jefferson had something to say about that too. I have to paraphrase because I can't remember the quote, but. He said that in disarming the lawful citizen, all you're doing is empowering the assailant. You're not doing anything except making it easier for the criminal to attack the law-abiding citizen by disarming them. Criminals don't obey the law. That's why they're called criminals.
Well,
law-abiding people obey the law. That's why they're called law-abiding.
And I think that the government's reasoning is that if you disarm everybody, then they're the only ones that have guns, period, except the criminals.
Exactly, and that's illustrated by Gavin Newsom every time he shows up somewhere to cry about weapons in private hands, and he's surrounded by a California Highway Patrolman with fully automatic weapons under their jackets. I mean, who the hell does this buffoon think he is?
Not only that, but allowing all the illegals to come across the border and everything. They're not even trying to stop that.
Well, he spent $27 billion on illegal alien services last year, and he spent less than $1 billion on veteran services. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
Well, so where are we at in the court case, Mark? I mean, I know that you're in an appeal now, and you're in the Eastern District of California. Where does it go from here?
Well, we are in the case. In the Eastern District of California, in the main part of the case. What we did was, when we filed, and by the way, this case is 4 years old, and we have not gotten to the merits phase of the case yet. And this is how judges steal your liberty every day. And I can remember on two occasions when Judge Kimberly Mueller, the Democratic operative who is buddies with Jerry Brown and friends, personal friends with Gavin Newsom, and quite frankly is a better lawyer for the state of California than California's lawyer is, far and away. Every time we go before her, she tells the state's attorney what he needs to ask for, and then she gives it to him, and she reminds the state's attorney what he needs in order to win the case, and then he asks for it, and she gives it to him. So this is not a judge. This is another attorney for the state who happens to be in charge of the case, and that's how I'm going to refer to her. She's just another state's attorney. Well, we are in this case now for, I think, 3 years, going on 3 years. And mind you, this case was not hard. This case was very difficult to bring to the light of day to begin with because no California attorney would take the case. Mm-hmm. And when you ask them why, they say, well, I don't want to hand California their backside in court and then have to show up to federal court the next day to try to make a living. They're all scared. So I had to find a New York attorney to take my case, and she is a real tiger, by the way, and she is not afraid of that judge, and she's had the judge screaming at her a couple of times. But even this attorney, through her own admission, her mainstay really was getting people off if they got caught with a gun in New York. And it's a very regulated environment in New York, even worse than California. You don't have a Second Amendment in New York. But after a couple of years of really working hard, and I mean, this is so labor intensive. There's so much research. There's so much reading. It's hard to explain. I'm not going to bother going into it, but she has really come into her own, and the papers that she's writing are superlative. We have been very successful in our pleadings and in our filings, and we've been very blessed by God in the fact that the Supreme Court has yet again, for the fourth time, ruled that we do have the right to carry loaded weapons outside the home in defense of ourselves, our family, and our community. We have that right. That has been illustrated by the Supreme Court in Heller versus D.C., in New York Rifle and Pistol v. Bruin, in McDonald v. City of Chicago, and in another case, Wren v. D.C., and also Cruikshank v. United States, and several other cases. We have the right to openly carry a weapon outside the home for self-defense. That is the law of the land. That is the constitutional guarantee enshrined in the Second Amendment, period. And the right shall not be infringed. Well, the state of California has denied that right. And so to bring this case, I found a lawyer in New York who's very sharp and getting really, really good at this. And what we've done is we've tried to proceed with this case over the last 4 years. And what Judge Mueller keeps doing is what she calls kicking the can down the road. I remember one meeting we had with the state's attorney for scheduling, and Mueller says, well, at least we've kicked this can down the road another 6 or 8 months. And she was pleased with that. She thought it was much better to delay and deny justice than it was to see that justice was done. What is the judge's job again? To see justice? Well, we don't have that. We don't have that in this nation. Perhaps we have it at the Supreme Court level, but we certainly don't have it at the federal court level. So we're working to right that as well, because we've got to right that wrong in order to win the case.
So where do you see it going from here? I mean, they're just going to keep stalling and delaying and trying to, dissolve your resources for fighting. Is that what this is about?
Well, it is. I mean, what they do is they outspend you and they outlive you. You know, what they're hoping is that I'll die before this case gets to court on the merits. But the strategy that we've taken is working. And that is, we file for a preliminary injunction at the same time we filed the case. Now, the preliminary injunction was just denied by Judge Mueller, and she made several extremely rookie mistakes in her denial of our preliminary injunction. There is a test that you apply for a preliminary injunction, but let me get to a summary of where we are right now before I get into the minutiae. So the case is ongoing in the Ninth Circuit, and she kicked the can down the road throughout this year, 2023, into about September of 2023, with the state having to find some experts and taking thousands of hours and research and so on and so forth. And, you know, these professors may not be able to come at their beck and call, and they may have to delay things further. And the state has to file some papers in May, and then we have to file some papers by June, and then they have to file some papers in September, and then maybe we'll talk again. But we did file for a preliminary injunction, and that is to say that we have the right to constitutional guarantees while this case winds around in court for the next 20 years.
So an injunction is basically saying that these rights can't be infringed while the court is basically litigating it. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct. In other words, the state may not enforce the laws in question while the case is in progress. And there is a test in order to that the plaintiffs, we are the plaintiffs because we brought the action against the state or they're the defendants. Well, the plaintiffs have several bars that they have to meet in ordinary cases in order to receive a preliminary injunction. And that's called the Winters test. Well, Winters was an environmental law firm, case against the United States Navy, which they brought on behalf of the whales because whales aren't human and can't go to court. And they said that the Navy was killing the whales with all their sonar stuff. Well, the Navy, being the defendant, they challenged this in court, and they said that, well, first of all, ELF is not likely to succeed on the merits of the case, and so they should be denied their preliminary injunction in any event. And number two, the preponderance of evidence and the preponderance of equities falls in the favor of the Navy, and so environmental law firms shouldn't. And then also the balance of the government's interest in continuing their activity against the public's interest in succeeding in court has to be weighed. And in this case, the government won out because it's more important to win future wars than it is for the ELF to stop the Navy from using sonar on all of its submarines.
Unbelievable.
And so that became the test for all preliminary injunctions. And
so if these guys ignore the law, I mean, do they realize that the pendulum will swing both ways? If you just rule unlawfully and don't grant the injunction, basically what you're saying is that it doesn't matter anymore. It's whoever decides the case at that time, and it's not being decided necessarily on law. Which don't these guys realize that at some point that when you consolidate that into the power of a judge, that all of a sudden maybe the next time he won't like what you have to say and your injunction won't go through either?
No, they never consider that because socialists and communists are power hungry and their gratification has to be immediate. In other words, they want what they want when they want it. And they're willing to do anything. They're willing to lie, cheat, steal, kill, maim, whatever it takes in order to get that control. And so, no, they never consider those things in the future. But what was very good for
Listen,
us.
Mark, we got to go to a break, and I was just going to say the end justifies the means.
Well, I was going to let him finish, but pick it up on the other side. Please stay tuned with all the answers for the Second Amendment court case that we have going on.
Yeah, this is for our President Joe here.
Jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop, 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 hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop, 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 hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the coolest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only dish premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Everybody always picking on me.
Who's always writing on the wall? Who's always pooping in the hall?
Who's over here making Sigma faces.
At least he was funny.
Yeah, you. I like that. Who's pooping in the hall? Wow.
I can't necessarily say that about Biden. I mean,
he doesn't wait to get to the hall. He just goes.
Just go when you want to go.
Yeah, him and Nadler would make a great pair doing a dual engagement.
The song in the background: just go where you want to go.
Be who you want to be.
Dream on.
Let's get back to Mark Barron here. Sorry.
Yeah, we want to get back.
So finish your thought, Mark. Sorry about the interruption, but they were going to cut us off, and I didn't want you to get started and then have to get cut off.
No, that's anyway. Okay. So I was thinking about those superhero guys you were talking about before. I know what I want to be. I bought some cat litter one time. It was called Super Scooper.
So that would be like Scooby-Doo, right? Scooby. Go ahead.
Scooby snacks.
Never mind.
Yeah, the measure of whether a plaintiff is awarded a preliminary injunction or not was called the Winters test in federal court. Well, the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin, the Supreme Court, did something truly amazing. And what they said was, in Second Amendment jurisprudence, and they singled out the Second Amendment because, for example, and they directed these decisions basically, the NYSERPA versus Bruin case was directed at the Second Circuit, which is New York, and the Ninth Circuit, which is California. That decision was written for those two circuits because in California, in 50 out of the last 50 Second Amendment cases, the people lose in the state. The states won the last 50 out of 50 cases, and the Supreme Court saying, hey, this isn't going to fly, fellas. So they wrote a test. And this is called the Bruin test. And the Bruin test for preliminary injunction, in fact, the Bruin test is the behavior that all of the Article III inferior courts are to use with regard to Second Amendment jurisprudence. And here's what it says. When the conduct of the individual matches the plain text of the amendment, that conduct is presumptively constitutional. Now, what is the plain text of the amendment cover? And that's going to be the argument with regard to magazine bans and AR-15 bans and things going forward. But it is not an argument in our case. the conduct we seek and the conduct we want to engage in is the open carry of a loaded weapon.
It's already lawful.
The plain text, right, the plain text of the amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the court in NYSERPA v. Bruin, they plainly said that we have a right to carry weapons outside of our home for self-defense. And so that test, according to Justice Thomas, there is only one question in the Bruin test. Does the conduct of the individual comply with the plain text of the amendment? Well, the answer in our case is absolutely yes. In fact, it is word for word. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. To keep means to own, and that is not my definition. That's not the dictionary definition. That's the Supreme Court's definition of keep and arm.
So do you think she can twist her? She thinks that the judge can twist her way around this?
Oh, she thinks she can, but I don't think she can.
So if she does, so does, where does it go if from here? I got a question from the chat room. So does it, this get appealed to the Supreme Court if she denies the motion for injunction? What happens?
She denied the preliminary injunction, and she did not address whether we were likely to succeed on the merits, which was interesting because she said on the record that we were likely to succeed in the merits.
Really?
So she violated not only the Bruin test, but she also violated the Winters test. She also said that the state could not rely on its argument, in other words, public safety, to win in open court on the preliminary injunction. However, since we weren't in the merits phase of the case, we were only in the opening moves of the case, they could rely on public safety, which is an interesting defense because clearly in both the Winters and the Bruins test, the merits are the merits, period. Even in the Winters test, it says the merits track from the preliminary phase to the merits phase, and the Bruin test says there's only one question, plain conduct. That's it. Now, if the answer to question one is yes, that's the end of the discussion. Full stop. That's it. Plaintiffs win. No more argument allowed. If the answer to question one is no or maybe, we haven't decided yet, then it is up to the government and solely up to the government to demonstrate that the regulated conduct was widely accepted regulation and widely held regulation during the founding era, which was 1791 for the Bill of Rights. Well, that would apply if we were, that might apply if we were challenging a regulation. In other words, you can only open carry on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But this isn't a regulation. We're challenging a ban, and you cannot ban an enumerated right, according to Murdoch v. Pennsylvania. So you may not ban an enumerated right. Bruin has only one question. Does our conduct match the plain text? Yes, it does. And so we win. But she ignored all of that and denied the preliminary injunction, and we have essentially taken all of the stupid things she said in court, melded those together in a brief, and we have appealed only, not the case, but only the preliminary injunction to the Ninth Circuit Court. And since the Ninth Circuit Court is not allowed to argue the merits of
it goes straight to the Supreme Court then.
After if the Ninth Circuit denies our preliminary injunction, then it will go to the Supreme Court, and we'll appeal the preliminary injunction directly to the United States Supreme Court.
How do you get rid of these judges? How do you get rid of these activist judges? There should be some judicial review of these people for clearly not following their oath of office.
There is no judicial review for these people. You can only impeach them. Now, she could be impeached, but that is a really expensive, long process, and people would truly have to stand up. And I got to be honest with you, I just don't see that happening.
Right.
So what we have to do is go over her head and you know, look, mathematically, the odds are not astronomical. We could get two conservative justices in the night.
So I got a question in the chat room, and this seems like a good time to ask it. It says, if you win the lawsuit, or we win the lawsuit, that would be all of us collectively, I hate to use the term, we get our open carry rights, the injunction affirmed, would that be a stepping stone to a state split due to the fact that the liberals down south may want to split to make their law, to stop the open carry?
I would pray to the Lord God Almighty that that is the case. Yes, I mean, if we in the state of Jefferson assert our liberty and we succeed, and that's not the last step we're going to take, we're going to hit them again and again and again and again and again until they get so tired of us they'll let our people go. Yes, that's my hope. And my hope is also that if we can win this Second Amendment case, and I got to tell you, I have never been more confident in anything that we've ever done in the cause of liberty in my life than I am in this case. We can win this. They are wrong, and they are so wrong, and their handling of it is so childishly stupid that I can see us winning this case. And if we win this case, I think it behooves all of us to stand on the nearest lawn chair and shout to the rest of California, we in the state of Jefferson have helped restore some of your liberty, and if you'd like the rest of it, help us.
Well, it could be a little bit like the shot that was heard around the world type of a thing. It's just like the Dominion voting machines is getting rid of them in Shasta County. The reverberations are nationwide, and this could be one of those things as well. I'm curious, and I don't want to divert the conversation too much here, but I wanted to get your take on this greater Idaho on the border adjustment lines. And I was going to send this to you and get you, but you know, that we've got you on the show here. You know, my feeling was, wouldn't it be, I mean, is it a feasible thing to go join Idaho, do a border line adjustment, and then go to the Idaho Congress or whatever governing body up there that they've got, the legislature, and ask for a state split at that point? Because I would think that they would be amiable to that at that point if we got away from California.
Well, I think in the case of state split, there are several roads that may lead home. I certainly wouldn't have any objection to joining Idaho on our way to California, or just joining Idaho. In other words, our goal is to get away from the evil, lying cheats in Sacramento, the crooked, lying so-and-sos that think they're our masters and that own us. And that's my goal, is to get away from them. If we call it the state of Jefferson, I love that because it's near and dear to my heart. If we call it the state of greater Idaho, if that's along the way to get our own state of Jefferson, I'm good with all of that.
I just think it would be, it might be one extra step, but, you know, they're talking about, they've got it in front of the legislature, they're going to approve looking at it, and they're amiable, and they're talking to the state of Oregon about it. I mean, I'm with you. Whatever it takes to work and get the state split or the border divided or whatever it's going to take, because, you right. know, at this point in time, I mean, the next step is ugliness.
Yes, it is. And when you look at this, and this is how far California is willing to go in this, Mark. I mean, we had Tim Draper's three-state or six-state deal, whatever it was, and the state of California managed. Now, mind you, we've been at this for 4 years, and we're just now getting to the appellate court. Well, when Draper got the signatures for his six-state initiative, I think it was, the state of California, through and in one of their environmental useful idiot groups, got a case in front of the California Supreme Court within 30 days. How is that done, you ask? Well, not without some cheating or blackmail. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure, but there was some payola there, I would wager to say. And what the state Supreme Court says, because you can never beat California, you never beat the state in state courts,
right?
Because the judge knows who pays them.
Right.
So the California Supreme Court said that the people of California aren't smart enough environmentally to engineer a state split, and it would be bad for the environment if we were to split the state, and so they denied Draper's initiative, which had the signatures required to get on the ballot. You weren't even allowed to vote on that because the state Supreme Court says we're too dumb in environmental matters to be able to split the state and not harm the environment.
It sounds like these guys went to Greta Thunberg University or something.
Well, they went to Communist University, and whatever lie they have to tell, you tell the big lie, tell it often enough, and pretty soon people believe it. But I have to say, when we were denied the vote on that, I don't remember people being up in arms about it at all.
Yeah, well, because the pot wasn't hot enough. I mean, the boil the frog slowly works pretty well in general until it gets really hot, and then people start trying to jump out of the pot. But by then, you know, you've got a lot of issues now that you have to deal with in order to get out of the pot. And I think we're there. I mean, how much more of a pot are we in than we are in now?
Well, I have to agree with you, and you have to ask yourself and ask your friends and ask your neighbors and, hell, ask people you don't even know. Are you okay with being stripped of your God-given rights? Are you okay with paying $2 a gallon more for gas than any other state in the union? Are you okay with an elementary school that can teach your little boy he needs to cut his wee-wee off in order to be happy as a girl? Are you okay with your elementary school teaching your little girl that she needs to strap on something artificial and pretend she's a boy? Are you okay with drag queen story hour? Are you okay with the governor telling you that you don't have the ability to protect your own family when he's surrounded by automatic weapons? Are you okay with any of this stuff?
I'd add one to that, Mark. Are you okay with owning nothing? And will you be happy?
Well, evidently there's a lot of people that are starting to wake up and say no to that, because you had like 700,000 people leave California last year.
And 10,000 or so businesses. I mean, when you talk about the waste on the Wuhan, billions lost in business revenue, billions of businesses put into receivership, are my own business included, because the governor declared all of the businesses that used to advertise with us as non-essential. In other words, you could go to the titty bar, but you couldn't go to the barber shop. You could go to Walmart, but you couldn't go to the local store and buy something. And pricing out middle-income earners and spending $50 billion on a train to nowhere, mail-in ballots that are fraudulent, fire policies that are burning down our state.
How about providing retirement right now for Ukraine?
Well, there's that, too, but that's not a California...
No, but I'm saying the big picture of these guys is right now we're using money that is taken from the state of California's tax revenues, the federal revenues, to send money to the Ukraine for the retirement over there in Ukraine.
Well, there's that, but, I mean, there's something even closer to home. What about $27 billion worth of free stuff for people who broke the law to get in this state, but less than $1 billion to take care of the people who fought and shed their blood to save this state from communist dominion? What about letting illegal alien criminals out of jail so that they can murder repeatedly? And what about ordering cops and district attorneys not to do their job along the way?
Yeah, I mean, these people that think they're going to avoid this and stay in their comfortable little world of avoidance are going to have a rude awakening the more we go along this path. It's going to get more and more ugly unless we stop these idiots.
Well, that's true, and I look at this place where I live. It's very rural. It's very private. I mean, we only have 6,000 people in 6,500 square miles. Excuse me, 40,000 people in 6,500 square miles. Our population density is low, but yet everybody's putting cameras on their barns and putting cameras on their houses because the night crawlers, the drug addicts, the homeless, the illegals are creeping around stealing all your stuff.
I had to throw somebody out off of my property the other night. They pulled in there with their RV and they were just going to camp. I was like, no.
Okay, so 25 years ago, could you have imagined that?
No.
No, not even 10 years ago.
This is great.
It's crazy.
This is giant Steinbeck stuff. This is Grapes of Wrath stuff.
Well, it's George Orwell stuff, really.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, it's way beyond Steinbeck. this is 1984 personified, where your neighbor now, under AB 1327, your neighbor will get paid for ratting you out for having what he thinks is an illegal gun, whether there's any evidence to support that notion or not. The cops would have probable cause to enter and search your home, and then you could be taken to court and lose tens of thousands of dollars. Oh, and you'd have to pay the rat's lawyer fee. That's part of that law, too. So now they've created a neighborhood Stasi where the bitter old people or the bitter people on your block can turn you in for gun violations, and they'll get paid by the state to do it.
Yeah, you don't
pay. Under the premise of anything.
And of course, being disarmed is going to be in your best interest, even if you have to try to defend yourself from the state. I do have a question I'm going to ask you out of the chat room. It's, are you tracking New California, Paul Preston, and the Plums version of the plan? And I just kind of want to get a quick opinion, because I like to ask, and be a mouthpiece for the people in the chat room, because they do ask a lot of questions there.
No, that's fine. No, I don't track it because it's a scam. I mean, according to Paul and his bunch, they already have 56 counties that belong to New California. Well, heck, why don't you just leave the other two out and call it New Old California, because you already won, apparently, according to Paul. I mean, that thing's so stupid. For 2.5 years, I was on his website as the Siskiyou County Chairman for New California, and in that 2.5 years, I got one call from some guy in Santa Rosa. I told him what the deal was, and he supports the state of Jefferson now. So, no, I don't track that. That's how Paul makes his money.
I used to be on his guest on his radio program on a regular basis, and I discovered that it was more about self-promotion than anything else, and that's my take on it. So that's the honest answer, and I just wanted to get that out there.
No, that's cool. So where we are now is, with this preliminary injunction, we have a really good chance of winning. And, you know, mathematically, the odds are not overwhelming. We might get two conservative judges. If we get two conservative judges, we're going to win this PI. Now, will it stand, or will the en banc court stay the opinion? Well, since NYSERPA versus Bruin was directed specifically at the Ninth Circuit, and what happened was several cases where the Ninth Circuit's been way out of line, the Supreme Court vacated the judgment of the Ninth Circuit and remanded those cases back to the Ninth Circuit to be heard again based on the NYSERPA versus Bruin guidance. And what the Ninth Circuit did was they chickened out and they kicked all of those cases way back to the federal court. In other words, to start over from day one. Actually, we were kind of lucky that we got this case started when we did, because that did not happen to our case. We are now the only open carry case standing. Charles Nichols got kicked back to the federal court, so he is not a player quite yet. And he did not have a PI to appeal, so he's going to have to sit there for a year waiting for the court to fiddle around. So we're it. If we want our Second Amendment rights back, this is the case, and we need help with it. We need support.
So what is the timeline on this case? Do we have one yet?
Well, it's filed. The preliminary injunction appeal has been filed, so we're waiting for the Ninth Circuit to set a schedule for briefing. Because, you know, their goal is to drag these out till everybody involved is dead.
Right.
And you can't make a federal judge do their job. You just can't. It's not part of the process, I'm sorry to say, but it's true. So we're waiting for the Ninth Circuit to set a briefing schedule on it. They haven't uttered a peep yet. Once they set a briefing schedule, the state has already filed their opposition to our preliminary injunction. And in that opposition, they make several procedural errors and several just plain errors, where they say that, you know, it's not really necessary to find regulations that date back to 1791. They don't have to be a dead ringer. They can regulate conduct that's similar. But once again, their fundamental error is they're talking about regulations, not bans. You cannot ban an enumerated right. Our challenge is to the ban on open carry, not the regulation of any other kind of carry or open carry, because there is no regulation on open carry. It's simply banned. So they have made some serious fundamental legal errors. I think the opening is wide enough to drive a truck through, and I think we really can win this if I can afford to pay for it.
Wow. Well, we got about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. Man, there's so many things to talk about. It's absolutely...
I'll stay if you want. I'll stay over if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good, and we can continue the conversation and go over the fundraiser and give the people that information so they can help support.
Yeah,
What's going on?
I'm looking at so many articles here, and there was a question in the
chat room about mass shootings. Do you think that it's an inside job? The mass shootings?
I don't. You know, I don't know that they're inside jobs. They're crazy people typically. But once again, as William Blackstone said, the musket is incapable of giving offense. And as for the man, we have laws. In other words, it's already against the law to commit murder. So it has nothing to do with whether he had a gun or a hatchet or a chainsaw.
No, I think it's more what they're looking at is, like, I'm seeing stories on, you know, like right now, we had dozens of FBI operatives that, now that it's coming out, who infiltrated the Trump crowds on January 6th. There's a bunch of stuff going on here.
Well, they're
crazy.
Sorry, they're going to cut us off. We're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Solver Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. One person is dead, 10 injured after a pair of shootings in Tennessee police believe are connected. They were first called to a nightclub early this morning. Two shooting victims there were transported to the hospital in critical condition, five others treated and released. While police were at the scene there, they were notified of a second shooting a mile away. There, one male victim was pronounced dead, three others sent to the hospital in critical. Three people are being looked for as persons of interest. Former President Trump plans to visit the site of a train derailment that led to the release of toxic chemicals in Ohio.
Trump announced that the people of East Palestine, Ohio need help, and he will be visiting the town on Wednesday. In a statement, he claimed that word of his upcoming visit prompted the Biden administration to send toxicologists to Ohio this weekend. The administration says it was on the ground within hours of the derailment, but critics complain the federal government took too long to respond to the crisis and send top officials to the site. Greg Clugston, The White House.
French President Emmanuel Macron's pension plan has unleashed the most turbulent debate in years in the National Assembly, with uncertainty looming over the final outcome.
Tensions at Parliament are fed by the unpopularity of the reform that seeks to raise the minimum retirement age from 62 to 64, amid other measures. The bill started being examined recently, and over 20,000 amendments have been proposed, mostly by a leftist opposition coalition. The parliamentary situation is challenging for Macron, who's vowed to go ahead with the reform.
Correspondent Jeremy House. TikTok says it will build two more European data centers as the popular Chinese-owned video-sharing app seeks to allay growing concerns about data privacy for its users in the West. The company says in a blog post the first one will be built in Ireland. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Nestle Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
If you believe that natural immunity is stronger than the COVID vaccine, well, you're right.
According to research now being published in The Lancet, immunity acquired from a COVID infection provides strong, lasting protection against the coronavirus, more protection than two mRNA vaccinations. Infection-acquired immunity cut the risk of hospitalization and death from COVID reinfection by 88% for at least 10 months. The study authors said the information should be considered going forward where vaccination requirements are concerned. They said Europe treated past COVID infections as equal to vaccines where employment and public events were concerned. The research involved 65 studies from 19 countries. Keisha Stevens reporting.
The ongoing bird flu outbreak has cost the government about $660 million and added to consumers' pain at the grocery store. 58 million birds slaughtered so far to limit the spread. News and analysis at townhall.com.
A Tesla crash killed the driver and critically injured a passenger in Northern California yesterday.
The Tesla car plowed into a fire truck parked on a freeway. Fire officials say that truck protected a fire crew, clearing another accident. Four firefighters in that truck underwent treatment for minor injuries after the Tesla struck it on I-680. So says the Contra Costa County Assistant Fire Chief. The official also says first responders declared the Tesla driver dead at the scene.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Today is Sunday, February the 19th, the 50th day of 2023. On this date in history, 1985, the British soap opera EastEnders debuted on BBC television. And on this date in 2019, President Trump directed the Pentagon to develop plans for a new space force within the Air Force. And it does exist today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near. The rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this dream rain goes, so come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay.
Yeah, I just want sunshine, raindrops.
Well, you know, when we were young,
rainbows.
Younger, that song meant a whole lot different than what it means now.
It's kind of like, gee, these guys, it's just unbelievable. I mean, everything, is here. Take this, we're going to give you everything. It's going to be sunshine, raindrops, lollipops, rainbows. Take your pick. The rainbow connection's on the way, and it's all brought to you by Pfizer. Oh yeah, Joe Biden. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to our guest. And you had a great question, sis.
Yeah, I was wondering, Mark. You know, here in Shasta County on Tuesday, they're going to be voting on the resolution for the Second Amendment. Do you think that's going to help push along your case if it passes?
Well, yeah, certainly it can't hurt. And I know Siskiyou County passed one about 4 years ago, and other counties are watching this carefully. And if this passes in Shasta County, yeah, it's going to be a big help because it is the voice of the people telling the liars and cheats in Sacramento that they won't allow their liberty to slip easily away from them.
Well, I think Shasta County's been on the tip of the spear for a while. It's like with the Dominion, getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, because, you know, it's hard to look at these elections and look at the evidence across the nation and think that we're getting who we voted for, especially look at the Biden election was it's just off the charts.
Right.
But going back to the Second Amendment, so in Siskiyou County, you guys have passed that. Do you see any changes or shifts in, Shasta County and Siskiyou County and the constitutional sheriffs and so forth?
No, I'm going to say something people probably don't like, but there's no such thing as a constitutional sheriff. I mean, there are 58 counties in California, and it has been lawful since 2012. To issue permits to people in counties of less than 200,000 people to openly carry a firearm, and no sheriff has ever issued one, and no application exists, and no sheriff has ever complained about that. So I think the term constitutional sheriff is relative, and Article 5, Section 1 of the California Constitution says the sheriff works for the attorney general anyway.
So if we had a constitutional sheriff in your mind, what would he do? What could he do? Let's say that we put the constitutional sheriff badge on Mark Baird today, and we said, Mark, okay, you're
in control.
Yeah. What should we do?
Well, I would not impede the ability of the people to openly carry loaded firearms for their own defense. I mean, I'm not even going to say I would allow it because it isn't for me to allow. I would not stop it because it is not up to me to stop an activity that clearly complies with the plain text of the Second Amendment. So I would simply ignore the fact that people were openly carrying weapons for their own defense. Now, the problem with that is that the other 55 state agencies that have weapons would not ignore it. So even if a sheriff, and so we have to take a little weight off of these guys, because even if a sheriff were to look the other way for open carry, the Highway Patrol isn't going to look the other way, the Fish and Game isn't going to look the other way, the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Social Security Administration, and any one of other 100 agencies that have guns, they're not going to look the other way. So you would still be arrested for complying with the Second Amendment's plain text, and that's what this case is about. It is to stop everyone from infringing upon our right to defend ourselves and our families.
I
never thought about all the different agencies involved with that.
I've thought about it, and then what would you do? And my thing is that, we keep talking about insurrections. I say the insurrection is in the government, because when the government starts taking away your rights and starts ignoring the Constitution and starts ignoring the law, where's the insurrection coming from, us or them?
Well, gosh, Mark, you know what? You have hit on it right there. When the governor of the state of California stands in front of a group of reporters and tells the entire state that he will not support and defend an enumerated right in the Bill of Rights, who is guilty of a crime? The people who want their rights, or the controlling entity who would deny them those very rights and is not shy about saying how far he'd go to do it?
Yeah.
So if you were the sheriff and you had the badge on and all those different agencies that you named, could you tell them to check their gun at the door, basically, in the state?
Well, here's the deal with the feds and state agencies within any given county. The sheriff is conceivably, although he is beholden somewhat to the state attorney general in the state of California. He's not totally beholden, but he is somewhat.
Right.
And the state's attorney general is not shy about if a case does not go the way they want it to in any given county, they're not shy about grabbing the defendant and dragging him down to Sacramento for retrial. They'll do that, and they can. You cannot compel a county law enforcement agency to enforce federal law. However, you cannot prevent a federal officer from enforcing federal law within your county, nor can you prevent a state officer from enforcing state law within your county.
Even if it's unconstitutional?
That's right. Even if it's unconstitutional, you can't stop them from, in other words, and really when you look at it logistically, you couldn't do it even if you wanted to. So let's say you're openly carrying in the Walmart parking lot and five sheriffs drive by and they just wave to you and say, oh, cool gun, and they keep on going. And then you're walking back out with your cart and somebody in Walmart ratted you out to the Highway Patrol and they slide you a stop, grab you, take your gun, cuff you up and throw you in the back of the car. Well, the sheriff isn't physically there to stop it, even if he could or would. So what we really need to do is we need to get all of the agencies of the government to respect the rights of the people, and we have the First Amendment right to petition the government for redress of grievance, which is what this is, and the only peaceful way to do that, and I want to put quotation marks around that, the only peaceful way to petition the government for redress is in court. Now, if you fail, in other words, if the state of California violates the contract that forms the state, its own constitution, Article 3, Section 1, Article 2, Section 1, Article 1, Section 1, its own Charter of Rights, and its chief executive violates those two documents, the federal constitution and the state constitution, and the court is simply a minion of the state, even the federal court is a minion of the state, then the breach of contract exists, and one of the signatories to the contract, the people, is free to seek self-help. But having made that statement, you have to have enough people who are willing to seek self-help for that to be successful. And we don't have that, because whenever you start talking about defiance of government, 9 out of 10 people start looking at their shoes. So in my opinion, the only probable avenue to success is court, because people won't stand up for their rights in California. It's easier to take the mark of Satan. It's just easier. And you don't have to fight to take the mark.
Well, I guess the tree of liberty being refreshed with the blood of patriots and saints from time to time in order to preserve it is a last recourse, and there has to be enough people to stand up to the government.
Yeah, and the violation has to be egregious enough that even the average guy with a job he could lose and a home he could lose and a family he could lose, because let's face it, in 1775, these guys lost everything. They lost their homes, their families. They lost their money, their lives, their limbs. They bled for this liberty, this liberty that we apparently are squandering. And we don't have that type of society now. People, like I said, people will take the mark because it's easier, and they don't have to defy anybody, and they don't have to stand up to anyone, and they just kind of look down, and they hunker down as they pass the official who flicks a scrap of bread off the table onto the floor so that these dogs can lick it up off the floor.
So you want to ask the question in the chat room? Sure.
We have a question in the chat room, Mark, that says, how do you plan to get this case heard in and by the Supreme Court, because they pick and choose the cases?
Well, the method that we've chosen to do it is through the preliminary injunction. So this preliminary injunction is in front of the Ninth Circuit Court now. They could hear it, and they could grant us the PI. And in that case, we have our liberty back for the 10 years it's going to take for this case to wind through the courts. And let's face it, when they grant a preliminary injunction, it is because you are likely to succeed on the merits of the case anyway. And quite often, the state will throw in the towel, although I don't think they do that in the case of open carry. But the state will throw in the towel, seeing that you've already won and you're likely to win again. What's the point of keeping going, because you already got your rights back?
But they don't care at this point about that.
No. Yeah. But if the Ninth Circuit denies the preliminary injunction, then we are free to appeal the preliminary injunction directly to the Supreme Court. And PIs being an emergency in nature, this case would jump to the head of the line. Now, we have to be adults here, because this is an interlocutory plea. In other words, we're pleading to the Supreme Court for relief before a lower court has decided the merits of our case. That puts the onus on us to prove that this preliminary injunction is deserving of a firm affirmation. I think we can do that, but that's just me thinking, and I'm not a lawyer, although I've read a ton of cases. The Supreme Court may or may not pick it up, because they are free to choose. However, one thing in our favor is the fact that the Supreme Court has slapped the state of California straight in the face over its treatment of Second Amendment cases, and California has not changed their behavior at all. We are still a may-issue state. They still have show just cause in Penal Code 25850. There was a Ninth Circuit case that just handed them their tail again. They show no inclination to change their behavior. So the Supreme Court may choose to directly intervene and tell and order California to do that which they're not willing to do on their own, which is allow Second Amendment guarantees to be exercised in the state of California without government infringement.
So, well, we have a pretty decidedly, in theory, a decidedly conservative court, and they could always choose not to hear it, I guess. But at the same time, you know, with the separation of powers being, you know, equal, separate but equal, they might want to protect the power that they have at this point, and I would think that it would be in their best interest to make some kind of a call on this and not just let it go.
Well, as I've said before, they have literally directed the Supreme Court, the Article III Supreme Court has directed the inferior courts in the Second Circuit and the Ninth Circuit to change the way they view Second Amendment jurisprudence. They have ordered them to do that. If the Ninth Circuit thumbs their nose at the Supreme Court yet again, they may choose to just say, hey, enough is enough, and we need to show the inferior courts who truly is the Article III boss here, and that's the United States Supreme Court, and they may just order California to grant our liberty to us.
Well, and if they do that, is California going to be, is it going to... what if it chooses not to follow that directive? What if it chooses not to follow that order?
Well, if the Supreme Court directly orders the state of California to stand down toward the open carry of loaded weapons without government permission, it is then time for the people of the state of California to follow the Article III Supreme Court's wisdom and begin to open carry and show the state of California that they may not take our liberty without some reaction from us.
So then it comes back to we the people eventually anyway, in order to form a more perfect union type thing. And, are the ultimate power.
And also in Heller and in McDonald and in the Bruin case, The Supreme Court very politely but very pointedly tells these lower courts, you are to follow Supreme Court directive. You don't have a choice in these matters. Inferior courts are supposed to follow Supreme Court directive without question. So I think that there would be grounds to just begin to open carry, and Murdoch v. Pennsylvania says you can't ban an enumerated right, and Chambers versus United States says that these judges have the duty to follow Supreme Court directives. So I think, I'm just going to start carrying.
Well, it sounds to me like that your assessment of this case is pretty good, because, you know, I think your chances of winning is pretty good, even if it's just for the fact that the Supreme Courts will jealously guard their ability to be the law of the land as far as implementing decisions at the highest level that the states are supposed to follow. Because if you've got a state that's going rogue and time after time after time, it's no longer following the decisions at the Supreme Court level, I think they would slam it down at some point just to kind of show them who's boss.
Well, I think that they certainly have the constitutional authority to do just that. And remember, states were the signatories to the Constitution. The states themselves agreed to follow the principles enshrined in the Constitution in order for the Constitution to be ratified. And now California, by default, is one of those signatories. They came after the signing, but, you know, all the states afterwards agree to follow
the original mandate, sure.
Exactly, and follow the original mandates. And Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution enshrines that, but the United States Constitution is the highest law in the land. So the governor defying the United States Constitution is in direct contradiction to his oath. And in addition to that, it is not constitutional for him to do that. And these things are plainly known. However, governors like that petulant buffoon Gavin Newsom, they do it all the time, and no one stops him. So perhaps the Supreme Court would find it useful to slap this district down and to slap this state down and say, you subscribe to this Constitution or you are in insurrection. And quite frankly, that's one of our avenues to the state of Jefferson. We could lawfully right now declare the state of California is engaged in insurrection through the actions of its governor and its legislature, the unlawful
action. And go straight to the Congress and bypass them?
Go straight to the Congress and bypass them. The only problem we would have is we don't have a conservative majority in the United States Senate. We may well win in the Congress, but when it got to the Senate, it would go nowhere.
Well,
we need to control both houses in the United States Congress. We need to control both houses. And then that would be a viable avenue to get Jefferson.
It sounds to me like, getting the vote, the voting problems fixed, Dominion, you know, getting back to realistic elections is also the key here then, in order to win not just only statehood but our freedom as well at all levels. And I think that's starting to happen.
Well, look, government works best from the bottom up, not the top down. We all know that. And Alex de Tocqueville said this in 1825 in his book, The American Republic, and the title, which, by the way, was later changed to Democracy in America. But he said that the most important form of government the United States has is the township, which is now equated with a county. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. We have to demonstrate that we'll fight for our liberty as people. And then we can turn to the government that's supposed to represent us, that we created, and Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution declares that government wasn't created for government's good. It was created for the good of the people. And the people have the right to alter or reform that government any time the public good demands it. We don't have to wait for a referendum. It doesn't require a vote. The people of the state of California are authorized by our own Constitution to alter or reform government any time the public good demands it.
And well, so that's what's happening at the local level here in Shasta County,
right,
Mark. I mean, that's why we had a recall. That's why we had elections and got new boards of supervisors in there that are starting to actually vote in favor of the people's rights.
And goodness, the commies hate you for that. So, you know, Mark, I always say that you never know if you poke the beehive in the right place unless the bees get mad.
Well, there you have it. I think we hit it square in the middle this time, and they're starting to scramble because these guys at every level, you know, are really you know, work best as, you know, evil works best in the shadows. And that's kind of what's been happening for a long time. It's openly in your face. It's right, you know, they're hiding in plain sight. And, you know, but that's no longer the case because of alternative media, you know, all of the other ways that we're starting to get information. I saw a poll yesterday where Fox News was, you know, and we're talking about, Dan Bongino's program was like number one along with Greg Gutfeld. And the nearest competitor, there was two competitors. One was MSNBC. It was like a million viewers. And CNN has fallen all the way to 200,000 viewers. Because everybody's starting to go, you know, something, if I want to get lied to, you know, I'll call my congressman.
Sure, yeah. And I do believe that's a very important statement to make. But also, you take counties like Siskiyou County where we have the semblance of the Second Amendment here. And I got to tell you, state agencies don't bother us a hell of a lot here because they know that. And on some level, they're a little bit worried about it. And government afraid of its people
is good.
Liberty. Government, people afraid of their government is tyranny. In the state of California at large, we have people who are afraid of their government. What is the government going to do to me today? And in counties like Shasta County, where people have realized that they do have the ultimate say, they do have the final word, they now have a government that's starting to become afraid of the voters. And when I say afraid, the power of the vote can get rid of anybody if we simply have a free and fair election, getting rid of the Dominion machines. That's huge. I mean, you're starting to move to a point where the people in Sacramento will be afraid of you. And that's exactly how you want it. And that's how all of us need for it to be. We helped, I helped the guys in San Bernardino County pass Measure EE, where they said to the state, if you don't start behaving constitutionally, we're going to split away from California. And guess why they did it? They were tired of being lied to and stolen from by a government in which they have no say. They were tired of the fact that they have no representation, no effective representation in Sacramento, and the government treats them shabbily on a day-to-day basis and takes money away from their tax coffers and doesn't return goods and services commensurate with the money they spend. Gosh, sound familiar?
That's right.
I mean, we've been denied every business that used to make our resource counties the jewels of California, net contributors to the general fund and so on, and the state of California has taken those businesses away from us because if you strip a man of his economy, you strip him of his dignity, and you strip him of his will to resist because now he's standing there with his hand out waiting for you to spit in it so you can feed that to your family for dinner.
I think that they're really trying to implode the economy on a worldwide basis, the Economic Forum, the bankers. And I think it's coming, and I think there's going to be a big move here. And I think if you're not being prepared and you're not storing some food for your family and making provisions, I think you're an idiot. But I wanted to bring this up and get your little bit of opinion on this. Now, this comes from Newsweek, and I got to get this out there because, you know, we've got a case coming up on the Supreme Court to consider the case to reinstate Trump. Have you seen this?
I have not seen that case get to the Supreme Court.
It's at the Supreme Court. It's actually Bruin versus Adams. And I'm not saying that this thing's going to be successful or nothing. All I'm saying is that there's so much pushback going on across the country with this stuff. But this is an interesting case. This is the Supreme Court is set to consider. Now, this article was done by Newsweek. So I'm going to say that that's a pretty reliable source as far as maybe not telling the truth, but the big fact that it's actually the Supreme Court. And it's seeking to remove Joe Biden from the White House and reinstate former President Donald Trump to office. And the case is based on the claim from the defendants, who include Congress members Biden, Harris, and Mike Pence. They voted to certify the election after receiving valid requests from 154 members of Congress to investigate the unfounded claims of election fraud in six states, which they did not. And the Supreme Court declined to consider the lawsuit on January 9th, but the plaintiff filed an appeal on the 23rd, and the court, it looks like, has to reconsider to hear the case or not. So according to SCOTUS, the website that you can go out and read all this stuff, but, you know, the interesting fact is that, you know, people are pushing back here.
Yeah, and it's about time, and I think the more they push back, the more the cornered animal is going to lash out, and especially people like the World Economic Forum are going to help them, and Communist Party is certainly going to help him, and all the socialist nations and China is certainly going to help him, and Joe Biden owes China a ton of money, and they got the goods on his kids, so he's going to help him. But yeah, I mean, look, we're in the fight for our lives and our liberty here, and it's time to stop looking at your shoes and help me win this case, because if I win this case, we can stand on a chair and tell the rest of the people of California that the people of Jefferson helped them regain their liberty. And if you want the rest of us, the rest of your liberty back, help us. And we have a fundraiser coming up on March 11th, and it's very important because the coffers are just, well, Linda can tell you, we're darn near empty.
Pretty much.
And we need, and now the most important part of this case is about to come up, and I need to be able to pay for it. My wife and I are not rich. We need your help if you want your liberty back.
Well, I think that's coming up. Go ahead and give us all the particulars of that.
That's March 11th, like Mark said. It's going to be at the Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 West Center Street. That's in Anderson. Doors will open at 4 o'clock. Master of Ceremonies is Chris Kellstrom. It's going to be catered by Rockin' P Barbecue. You can get a table of 8 for $300, which includes 8 dinners and $200 in raffle tickets, or $40 a ticket. You can give Terry a call at 530-246-9706, or you can get tickets and send a donation if you want, if you can't make it, to Pecan at 14421. Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. Just put Pecan on the check, and in the memo put 2A, and we will make sure that it goes in the hoppers to help Mark with this case. And I just want to put out there so people know, because a lot of times they think that Mark collects the money and he does this or that. Mark never touches the money. Just so you know out there, he's never touched the money. That is something I handle and make sure that it goes to the proper lawyers and everything.
And by the way, if you can't make it, if you can't attend that date or you live too far away, gosh, spend us $100 or pretend you're buying a table and don't show up or something. But please help. This is important, and you can win. And like Linda said, I don't even know what bank the money's in. I've never seen the checkbook, so I don't touch the money, and 100% of it, unless maybe a couple of dollars to keep the bank account going, goes to the attorneys. 100%
yes, it does.
Goes to the attorney. And by the way, the attorney is charging half of what she normally charges to prosecute a case. She's only charging us half, and she wasn't even doing that. But, you know, I kind of told her, look, if you die of starvation and your family is destitute, you won't be able to keep this going. So she does charge us, but it's not the going rate. We're really, really succeeding at this. The last filings we made were absolutely superlative. I wish I could read these things to you. We caught Mueller in 5 or 10 procedural errors, a couple of lies. I mean, the paper we're sending to the Ninth Circuit, if they are intellectually honest, we will win, period. Because the state is whining about regulations, but they're not talking about the ban. And you cannot ban an enumerated right, and that is what they've done. We can win this if we can pay for it. So please, loosen up your checkbook, dump out your piggy bank, help us win this thing, and we can restore Second Amendment guarantees to all Californians. And I guarantee you their little pencil heads in Sacramento will explode, and the character of this state may begin to change based on the actions of the people. And that's what this is all about, folks. Do you want your rights or don't you? Because you can get them back. All you got to do is help us.
Right. And no donation is too small. I receive, you know, anywhere from $5 up, and we're more than happy to receive the $5.
And where do they send those donations again?
14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. Or you could stop by at that address. I've had people stopping by and donating. Or you can always give us a call at 530-221-0101. You might have to leave a message.
Yeah.
That is our tax line, too. We're kind of busy. But
yeah, we're in the middle of taxes.
Again, I just want to tell people, you know, if you can only give $5, that $5 can definitely help us.
Let me read you one paragraph, just one, that Judge Mueller wrote in denying us the preliminary injunction. Now, mind you, she is a Democratic operative, but she's so wrong in this particular point. So let me just read this paragraph to you. It is not necessary to decide whether California's penal code restricts conduct within the Second Amendment's plain text under Bruin, or whether the challenged penal code sections are within the nature, the nation's historical tradition of firearms regulation. Nor is it necessary to decide whether Baird and Gallardo would suffer irreparable harm if the court does not enter a preliminary injunction, because they have not shown the balance of harm and the public's interest favor the injunction. Well, her huge error in this is, number one, the merits of the case are part of the Winters test. Number two, the finding out whether the conduct challenged is the plain text of the Second Amendment, that is the question in the Bruin test. And would we suffer irreparable harm? There are four Ninth Circuit cases that say denial of constitutional guarantees is irreparable harm, period. And there is no redress for that besides righting the wrong. And those are Ninth Circuit cases. And then in the fourth sentence, she says, because we have not shown that the balance of harm and public interest favor a preliminary injunction. I have two things to say about that. Public interest is always, always balanced to the restoration of constitutional guarantees. The public's only interest is freedom in these cases. And number two, what she's talking about, the balance of harm and public interest, is interest balancing. And that argument was expressly and just very well written in Bruin, rejecting that argument. You may not consider the interest of the government balanced against the interest of the public maintaining their liberty, because the Second Amendment itself is the result of the balance of the public's interest in liberty against the government's interest in taking that liberty. So the Second Amendment is interest balancing, and future judges may not rebalance that interest in the favor of the government. And every single sentence in her paragraph where she justifies denying the preliminary injunction was expressly and very directly rejected by the Bruin case. We can win. We can win if I can pay. I'm telling you, we can win this thing, and I'm very excited about the prospect.
Well, I guess we'll just have to raise enough money to make it happen, because that's what we're trying to do.
Yep. So, again, that's going to be on March 11th at the Anderson VFW Hall. Buy your tickets.
Would you give the address one more time for people?
Sure. 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
And that's where they can send
the
checks.
And I know Terry loves this. Give Terry's phone number out.
I will. I'll have to do it a couple times. 530-246-9706. Again, that's 530-246-9706.
That's what you need to get all the information that you need to help us out. All right.
And it's a good time, too. We always have a lot of fun there, and it's definitely going for something that's very important.
Yep. You know, it's a ton of fun, and we already have some pretty cool donations. I'm going to donate a rifle, a 308 bench gun that's a really nice rifle, and one of the guys up here has already donated a flintlock that's a very cool, very cool long gun. And so we've got some great donations coming in. We've got some great desserts. Chris has got some cool ideas to make the raffles fun. And you know what? You're going to eat good. You're going to have a good time. And let's show up and support our liberty.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good.
Well, we want to thank you, Mark, for coming on. We really appreciate you spending the time with us this morning on all this.
You are most welcome, and the time has come for 51.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks. Have a wonderful day.
Very good. All right. So with that said, we got a few minutes here. Let's cover some of the stories that we've been kind of...
There's signs,
I know.
It's like, wow.
I'm going to read a couple off, and then we'll dissect whichever ones you guys want to go after. Fox News filing shows Dominion voting machine, systems executives, including Eric Coomer, knew its voting systems had major security issues, was hacked, and was riddled with bugs. That was on Friday.
What did they say this morning? Not to interrupt, but 20 machines here in California they found. They had issues with.
See, it makes you wonder why Kathy Darling Allen is fighting this Dominion machine thing so hard. You know,
and Zuckerbucks.
And Zuckerbucks. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not accusing anything, but you know, it's interesting that the people that seem to have the most problem with these things are the people that seem to have problems. Not to mention anything, but you know, it's like the whole Chinese thing. It's like at the top levels. You got McConnell colluding with Schumer to pay Ukraine. And gee, what do they have in common? I don't know. He's got a communist Chinese spy for a wife, and the other one's been to Epstein Island. I don't know.
What's the problem here?
So going back here, we do have a another story from Lodi. Embattled Lodi City Councilman Shakir Khan reportedly resigns after arrest on voter fraud. Charges.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, we got a caller. Let's go to Stones.
All right, let's go to Stones. Are you there, Stones?
Hey, I'm here.
Good morning.
I just got back from some militia training, so I've pretty much missed everything this morning. So at the risk of repeating, I'm going to quickly give an update on our local group who are trying to take back control of our countywide elections. We had our fifth meeting yesterday. We even had a new member join us, a very smart person who was involved in a recall from day one and is very active in showing up to the Board of Supervisors at the microphone stating their concerns. So we're not asking permission from the criminal state nor the criminal federal government. We are, just like Patrick Jones was, I did hear a couple of minutes of Patrick Jones talking about elections and no dominions, and that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not asking permission to take control of our countywide elections. So we're making good progress. Once we get a new county council in place to hopefully legally support this effort and maybe even go on the offense and sue the state and federal government for disenfranchisement. Of all of the voting laws and the fraud and everything else. So we'll see what happens with the new county attorney. But we're not asking permission. Yes, that's the third time I've said that. And I said that for a reason three times because there are elections. There are county and city offices. It's our local money. It's our local offices. It's our local business. And did I say local? How many times did I say local? So we just have to take them. And you know, there will be some legal ramifications, some injunctions and stays from criminal judges and the state attorney general, but we're preparing for that. So we're making good progress. And once we take control of our countywide elections back, then we will have a truly organic vote. And
free and fair elections? Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, I don't like free. I like saying fair and fully transparent.
How about accurate? Free.
Well, when you're fully transparent, the accuracy follows. Accuracy follows the full transparency. So, anyway, it's a good thing, making good progress, and hopefully by summertime or so, we'll have a countywide elections proposal in front of the Board of Supervisors for public comment and a vote,
cool.
And then have all that stuff in place before the next primaries.
Keep up all the good work, Rick.
You guys are doing a lot of good work out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll see you guys on the 11th. I am the co-plaintiff on the Baird versus Bonta case, so I will certainly be there also.
All right, very good.
Nice.
Thanks, Rich.
We appreciate it. Have a great day. Thanks for calling in.
I wanted to go back to this story because I want to illustrate so the whole state just ignored the whole fact that the sheriff in San Joaquin County got arrested. One of the city councilmen. For voter fraud? That didn't make the news?
Because nothing like that happens in California. What's the matter with you?
So you can go to LodiNews.com if you want to verify the story. I just want to bring that up because Really? So that's not big news. Nobody, did you hear about that on any news programs?
No, I don't know.
Just saying.
I'm not sure where I heard it, but it wasn't on any news program.
Same for the Fox. You know, huge news, filing shows Dominion voting machines, executives, including Eric Crewman, knew the voting machines had major issues, been hacked and so forth. I guess that just didn't make the news either, right? Especially in light of all the crap going on here in Shasta County. See, I'm telling you, these people are liars. They obfuscate the truth. They're not transparent. They don't care about the truth. They care about staying in office for whatever reason. And power.
You know what gets me about Kathy, too, is she said that, you know, it was against the law to do an
audit. No, it's not.
I know. But if you've ever been involved with a campaign or anything, not that we would know anything about that.
What?
They look at your financials constantly.
Right.
I mean, you're on heavy scrutiny under her thumb, and I do believe that she even has tried to have people prosecuted through the DA over that. So,
What about Zuckerbucks?
You know what I'm saying?
Zuckerface bucks. I still am a firm believer that some of these people are bought and paid for. Hey, you know, I'm just speculation. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of funny that, you know, two counties in California was part of that program in Shasta County's one, and Contra Costa was the other, I believe. Wow. So there you go.
Yeah, just a quinky-dink. You don't understand. There's a lot of coincidences these days.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a lot of coincidences of people dying and having adverse events and you know, I don't know. There's just a ton of coincidences everywhere. People dropping dead on professional sports events. I don't know. Just, you know, you have a heart attack. It's a coincidence. It had nothing to do with anything.
Nothing at all. And with that, we do have to go to a break. We did skip one break, so we will take a break. We will continue this on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Sweet chocolate, chocolate balls, candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man.
Ooh. Who can make a sunrise? Sprinkle it with you. Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The candy man. Ooh, the candy man can. Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The Candyman.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? Jefferson state of mind.
Mr. Sandman, that'd be our president. He's the candy man, Mr. Sandman. You know, everybody just...
No.
China's sugar daddy.
The sugar shack. Sugar shack.
So let's get Mark on back real quick, and then we'll go to our other caller. You got a correction
what
or
you
something
got, Mark?
Mark?
It's actually Terry, not Mark.
Oh, well, we were told Mark, so what's up, Terry?
Yeah, I know. That's neat. Okay, so anyway, yeah, on the memo portion, when the folks send their check, they have to put 2A in the memo section, because I'm getting people wondering if they just, you know.
Right, we said that.
I'm just telling you, I got a call. I didn't hear it. I heard it, but I didn't hear you mention the 2A the last time, which is fine.
Yeah, that's
fine. But I just want to make that clarification, and the address, do they mail it to, with the address, do they mail it to Pecan, or do they mail it to North State Consultant?
Doesn't matter. As long as the check says
Pecan
on it with 2A in the memo, it doesn't matter who they address it to, whether it's North State or Pecan.
As long as they get the address
fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Thank
no problem.
You. All right. Thanks, Terry.
All right.
Thank you for calling in.
So
is there somebody else?
So before we go to our caller, this is probably going to just go right into our caller here. I wanted to publish, I've got this. I published it on Facebook. This is from Senator Ron Johnson, and it's the VAERS data on the COVID-19 vaccine injuries as of February 10th of 2023. And I posted it, and what's interesting is that, and this data comes from the U.S. CDC government website and the FDA. And when I posted it on Facebook, they said, you need to check your facts on where you're getting your information from. And I was like, from the guys who are putting out all of the data that you're saying we should follow. And so it goes into drug adverse events comparisons. It compares ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, flu vaccines. I don't even know what this other one is, dexamethasone or whatever, Tylenol, and remdesivir. And right now, what we've got is, and this says worldwide drug comparison, and so COVID vaccines, there's been 1,521,347 adverse events that has been recorded by these guys. I think it's probably even more.
Probably.
We've got deaths at 34,385, and we've got deaths just this year at 15,000. So, nothing to see here. It's all good, and we should just keep taking it and getting the boost. And by the way, that's the more boosts you get, the more that this starts to happen. And this is by their own data. So they don't work. There's no efficacy. The more boosts you get, the worse it gets. And you can't spread it. Oh, but wait a minute, you can. And we should be keep. And that you're still seeing advertisements saying that you're supposed to keep getting it.
Right. And did you see that they are tracking people that don't get it now?
Yeah, I saw that. Now,
yeah,
I think
isn't that crazy that,
if you're not
so
watching.
So be careful with what you say to your healthcare workers.
If you're not watching Dan Bongino during the week and seeing what's been going on lately, I think you need to go back and review a couple of the shows. Anyway.
We have a call. Yeah. I believe we got Lori on the line. Are you there, Lori?
I sure am. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, I'm glad you're on this topic. There's just so much coming down on all of this. I sent in the chat room a pop-up clinic Saturday. NorCal Outreach, I don't believe they've ever sponsored or hosted a clinic. My reason for calling is not just pizza and ice cream being as an incentive to come and get your jabby jabs. They're now added, someone, Debbie, it's on the flyer, massage and then Nikon products, which are magnetic products. So when does it end? They're doing children 6 months up to 15 need parental permission. Up to 15, not 18. So here we go back to the kids that are supposed to make up big decisions on something like this. They're going to be doing Moderna, Pfizer, and variant. I'm sorry, if people are not tracking, this has been imploding. It's horrible. Even the Lancet has said your natural immunity is far better than any of these vaccines. So I just in closing, I'll put this for probably in your chat room, the French general is paying tribute to people that are called anti-vaxxers. He said for the past 2 years or so of contempt, insult, and threats against the pure-blooded, quote-unquote, these words are best to tribute that he can say to the people that have, you know, you've lost your family at the holidays because you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't take it. You could go almost broke. You've lost a ton of money, right? And so he said you've gone through an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, the Green Beret, astronauts, and all have failed to pass. You, the unvaxxed, are made of material of the greatest that has ever lived. Those heroes born among common people who shine in the dark. And his name is Christian Blanchard. He's a general of the French Army. And this is why from the very beginning we were saying, slow down, hold up, this isn't making sense. And then what did we get? Slapped in the face. Look at all the crap we've went through at various, like, board of supervisor meetings. And we have told people, now they regret. And we're like, I'm not here to rub your nose in it. I'm sorry, but we did not deserve the absolute hatred, losing jobs, and all the rest of it. Oh, by the way, if you read the fine print on this little flyer I put in the chat room on this pop-up.
I'm sorry. I got kicked out of the chat room on accident, Lori.
I can't get back in. What fine print are you talking about?
On the flyer, and you can just go to NorCal Outreach, folks, if you're listening, and they say they're now calling it STI checking, mm-hmm. not STDs. They don't want to say it's a disease. It's just a little infection. See how the words are being manipulated, and so it's not a big deal if you wind up with your bottom all screwed up. Come on, I'm so fed up with this.
Right.
God, I worked in dermatology for 17 years. No, this is not funny. I don't like what this far left or whatever, whoever's doing all this. So anyway, I'll put this French general's comment about the anti-vaxxers and that they pay the big price to say, no, I'm not taking it, not taking it. And I've lost job opportunities because I wouldn't take it. I will not.
Yep, there's some of us out there. I'd like to know how these places keep getting away with having these clinics when it's proven what it's doing to people. How is that legal to do knowingly to people?
Because we're in a state of emergency still, and I'm just wondering if we're going to still be in a state of emergency, because what did Newsom say? He's going to end the state of emergency.
May
11th. May 11th. I'll believe it when I see it.
It was February.
It.
Dave?
Panic worship brought to you by Pfizer.
No kidding.
No.
I mean, it's so insane that they're allowing this to keep going on knowingly.
And to that point, last week's show, we actually had, I would call him a whistleblower who was on, who was discussing about how they have to go after the kids and they have to get the kids in order to get the immunity. If they don't have that,
well,
then they can be.
What it is Robert F. Kennedy came back and said that they want to do the kids thing, and they put it, and they had the FDA or the CDC put it on that protocol, is because now they have immunity under the act of whatever they did. I can't remember the name of the act. Well, the act that they did to so they could supply vaccines to the kids at school.
God.
Yeah, they just added it to the records, your shot records for kids, that they have to have it on there.
Right.
No,
exactly.
And they're making a V code, or excuse me, a ICD-10 code tracking all of us that did not take it. You tell me what's wrong with this picture. They've never had to do that before. Now suddenly they want to track all of us that refused, declined, and said no thank you?
Well, I'll tell you what, too. I think people need to get more informed. I would go to Children's Health Defense Network, and I would look in there, and there's also a new video out. It's called Never Again is Not Global, five-part docuseries series.
Yep.
I would watch that. I don't have time to do some of this stuff. We're going to do some more of this on the podcast tomorrow. I'm going to address some of Bill Gates' crap and
Love it.
This other stuff. We just run out of time here, and we only have so much time.
Okay, may I close with this comment? Local. Shasta Regional is a sponsor of this radio station, Casey Fatch, and he was on this week, and they were talking about the Go Reading heart thing in women, and not once did they mention the heart issue with the pericarditis, the myocarditis, heart attack, seizures, strokes, all the pot shot. Not once did they mention it for one full hour. And I will be emailing you, Casey Fatch, if you're listening. And your secretary, administrative assistant, was the keynote speaker because she suffered and lived through a heart attack. So you were so proud to say, Casey Fatch and all the rest, that you wanted everyone to be vaccinated so they could safely work. I got to wonder, and I got a question. I'm doubting. I wonder if this was a natural, organic, oh, I have a family history kind of thing, or you took the clot shots, 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know. It's not my business to ask you personally. I'm just saying, I have my suspicions with the died suddenly videos and all the rest of these compilations.
Hey, Lori, so, I hate to cut you off, but they're going to cut us off because we're almost at the top of the hour.
Thanks,
we appreciate you calling in, though.
All right, okay.
All right, have a wonderful day.
Good.
Thanks.
So I guess we're at the end of the show.
We are at the end of the show, guys.
All right, so I guess the music's going to cue us on here anytime now. And government is not reason, is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And everybody have a great week.
Gun control is racist.
You missed it. He was involved in something. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week, y'all. Oh, gun control is racist.
Let's see that just how is that true. Get all that garbage out.
Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.